whenever I'm editing a podcast, if I'm loud or if something loud happens, like a laughter thing, then it always is just, it's jarring. It's
yeah, I was going to say. That's going to get back at you.
It is. I'm going to, is that karma? Is that what they call that? Don't be a loud, obnoxious turd, because karma will bite you or damage your earphones, your headphones, your ear holes, ears, hearing. There you go. Words are not coming to me this morning. Words. I need a lot more coffee. I need like a pot of coffee. I just need like an IV of coffee. Do you want to help me out with that? Give me an IV of coffee, please.
I think I'm just going to let you self-monologue.
You're just going to watch me like deconstruct and fall to pieces.
No, because you know I'm positive and I'm trying to help you.
Thank you. Thank
support
you. Thank you for your
empower
support.
Empower you.
Thank you to empower me. I feel empowered. I feel empowered to never stop speaking. All right. Hello. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 4, Podcast for Good. This is an episode about Camp for Girls. We will get to that in a second. My name is Heather Lucas. I am the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and I am joined by...
Jerrica Ferguson. I handle marketing and development for the Combined Fund Drive.
Yeah, so this episode, I said Camp for Girls, it is an episode featuring Rain City Rock Camp for Girls. I spoke with Natalie Walker. She's the Executive Director for Rain City Rock Camp. Camp, when I first like signed this charity up, like they came and they signed up for the podcast, and I was just like thinking, oh yeah, yeah, camp, like it is outdoors, it's tents, it's this kind of thing. It's not.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not. And also, it's a rock camp.
Well, I would be down to rock.
Yeah.
Rock.
Yeah, so this is a charity, for whatever reason this year, it seems to be like one after the other, as charities are talking about their mission, their goals, what they do, the services they provide. I'm just more and more like, wow, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Why? Like,
I just wish that like I had the opportunity as a little girl to do it.
But luckily for you, as an adult, there's an opportunity.
What?
Yeah, so we'll definitely talk about that soon.
Okay.
But I wanted to get into the question of the podcast.
Yeah.
So, Jerrica Ferguson, who would you say, and of course, music tastes change over time. I know you can't read my writing.
Favorite band mission?
Musician. Yeah, see, close. You could almost get all of those words. Great. Almost. So, music tastes change over time, but who would you say your favorite band or your favorite musician is right now?
Right now?
Yeah. Or ever, if you'd
Nickelback.
Like Nickelback is right now? Yeah? Yeah?
No. Right now...
She wasn't kidding either.
Like, I wasn't.
She really does love Nickelback people.
No. Right now, I have been on a spurt of... Khalid,
yeah.
Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez.
Okay.
A lot of Khalid.
Yeah.
I've also really been digging your recommendation, Eileen Jules. Thank you. Jeez.
All the words.
She has been really great. So she's been playing on repeat in my house. You know this, I'm a big podcast listener, so if I'm not listening to podcasts, it is music, and it's really, literally whatever randomness comes on to mind. But, I've been listening to Selena's new Rare album.
Okay.
Great job, makes emotions.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I feel like music is, we're in this training, and someone's like, oh yeah, when you want to decompress, listen to music, and I'm like, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have to be really careful of what kind of music I listen to, because it can definitely change my mood, and like that's also the beauty of things. So like, when I start kind of getting in like a funky mood, because I'm listening to maybe a sadder song or something that like resonates with me or touches with me, all of a sudden I'm like, I can self-reflect and say, you know what? I need to pause, and I'm going to put something happy on.
Yeah.
And even, like, that first song, I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. Like, I want to be moody. Waiting till that second song kicks in, and I'm like, mood changed.
Uh-huh.
And so I really utilize music to, I don't know, just
manipulate
me,
your feelings.
Yeah, but, like, no, but, like, to get me, you know, either high or low, or just feeling good, or... And, like, even you can feel good when you're sometimes sad, too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You can, you know, work through some emotions, and I think music and song really affects that.
Yeah. And it's a way, too, to hear, like, what you're thinking or feeling portrayed by someone else.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you're not going to be thinking and feeling the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But you're in the realm, and you can put your own stamp on what it is that you're hearing.
What about you?
I think right now, I am going through a big Slater Kinney phase.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you did just go, you went to
I did. It's been, like, show. That was in November, but, like, I had him on last night, and I was just like, man...
So good.
So
local band,
shout out. So Slater Kinney, and then right now also I'm listening to a lot of 90s Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard that they were going to come back, and
interesting. Yeah,
so I was curious about that. But one of my favorites all time, Tom Waits. He's a complete weirdo, and I love him so. I listened to a lot of
Rage Against the Machines growing up.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had an older brother, so everything that he listened to, I listened to.
Yeah, and older brothers would listen to Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of sense.
All the sense.
It makes all the sense. So, music.
Make sense?
Yeah, music and sense. We're going to kick it into the interview with Natalie Walker, the executive director for Rain City Rock Camp for Girls. Here's that interview. All right. I am here with Natalie Walker. She is the executive director for Rain City Rock Camp for Girls. Natalie, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Great. Can you give us a little history about Rain City Rock Camp for Girls and what your organization does for the community?
Yeah, we started in Seattle in 2008, and we were based off of a program model that started in Portland in 2001.
Okay.
So the idea is that you come to our camp, you learn an instrument that you've maybe never played before.
Okay.
You form a band, so you're with people you've never met before. You write a song.
Yeah.
Okay, so with, like, maybe never playing this instrument before, now you're writing a song, and then you perform it at the end of the program.
Okay.
So all of this is happening with the support of a mentor. Mm-hmm. So we have youth ages 8 to 18.
Okay.
And they have the support of coaches and counselors who are activists, musicians, people who are, you know, doing that in the real world.
Okay.
And they're helping them through this process. Mm-hmm. So they're getting to learn how to work together, how to write music, all at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody's coming there and they've never learned an instrument, what instruments could they have access to?
Yeah, so their instrument choices are guitar, mm-hmm. bass, electric bass, drums, mm-hmm. vocals, or keyboards.
Okay.
So it's kind of your traditional rock setup, but the genre that comes out of this songwriting experiment, it really spans, you know, when you have beginning musicians who are young people just kind of exploring sounds, it sounds like it's very creative.
So you could have something that could be a little more Yoko Ono, something that could be a little more Lizzo, something that could be like Joan Jett.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eclectic.
Right. So in addition to this music education component of the program, it's also a lot about self-empowerment and community empowerment. Okay. So they're learning about the history of women in music. Mm-hmm. They're learning about body image and media literacy.
Okay.
They even are taking self-defense classes and marketing classes on, like, making their own t-shirts and band logos. So it's really kind of a holistic approach, and we're using music kind of as the instrument, pun intended, of how to kind of really connect with youth of where they're at, and the fact that this is something that's super relevant to them, then we can kind of sprinkle in these other little, you know, empowerment and maybe a little feminism in there to just be like, hey, this we are meeting you where you're at.
Yeah.
And we're looking at how can we help you to feel like you are free to be who you are.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of the end goal.
Okay.
So our success stories are not necessarily like, oh, who won a Grammy?
Sure.
Although that would be really cool if one of our participants, you know, went on to win a Grammy or write some sort of Broadway musical.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
But that's not really what like a typical success story looks like for us.
Okay.
Success means that you leave our program and you go and stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You go and start a club at school.
Yeah.
You go to the Capitol and protest, for example. Those are success stories to us rather than like kind of your typical what you might think is like, oh, who are the rock stars?
Yeah, yeah.
And rock star has so many different meanings to us.
Yeah. So the body image, the self-defense, was that something that you also saw happening in the Oregon program when you pulled into
yours?
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, so that was something that was super unique about that program that we thought, okay, this is taking something that is so important for community building, which is music.
Yeah.
It's bringing people together. And then we're doing some community learning at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we look at self-defense from kind of this positive aspect called body power.
Okay.
So kind of being in your own power and standing up for yourself in that way, rather than kind of from the, okay, protect yourself against danger. So we sort of look at it that way with the youth and even with the adults. So we have an adult program too.
Okay.
and
the adult program, any ages?
That is age 21 and up.
Okay.
So it's called Ladies Rock Camp.
Nice.
And we take the program model with the youth, which is 1 week.
Okay.
And we shorten it to 3 days.
Okay.
So that you could take Friday off of work and come be with us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, learn an instrument, form a band, write a song, kind of that same idea.
Yeah.
No musical experience necessary. We provide all of the instruments. We have coaches, all that same kind of thing. You're coming to camp. You get your lanyard. you know, the whole deal. You just, like, check everything that are all of your responsibilities at the door.
Yeah.
And you can just tend to yourself, your creative desires, or just, like, I always wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
Or I need to spend more time being creative. So we have a program for women and non-binary folks. That's the same sort of program concept.
Just for adults.
Yep, and that happens in the spring and the fall.
Okay.
Whereas our youth programs tend to be in the summer.
Okay.
And then we hope that our Ladies Rock Camp participants are so excited about what they've experienced that they come and help us at the youth programs as the mentors, as the volunteers
who
are helping with, you know, being camp counselors or band coaches.
Right on.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you say this because we had the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association come on 2 episodes ago and talk to us about what they do. And both my co-host and I were like, man, I want to be part of a youth symphony. But we're obviously not youth.
Yeah. How can I sneak in there and just be in the back?
Yeah, I just want to be part of it. So now I'm going to talk to her about it, and we're going to be rock stars. That's just going to happen.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Please come to our camp, be a rock star for a weekend or for the rest of your life, or just continue rocking what you're already rocking.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
So can you speak to, like, changes? You said a little bit about how, like, these campers are going to come in, they're going to maybe start from, like, nowhere, not knowing anything.
Exactly.
And then go through this whole program to have a finished product performed on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
So can you speak about any changes you've seen with, like, first-time campers coming in versus what happens to them when they leave the camp? What happens to them over the course
of the camp? At a very basic level, there's a lot of skill building.
Okay.
You could start with the musical skill building.
Mm-hmm.
So the experience of learning the instrument, there's instrument instruction that happens in the morning, and then immediately there's this applied learning and band practice in the afternoon.
Okay.
So that's at the very basic level, like you're going to learn an instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to learn how to write a song.
Mm-hmm.
But there's sort of like the deeper levels of what is learned throughout the week of camp that we see changes in the youth who come, which is like the learning how to work together, teamwork, learning how to speak your opinions and stand up for them.
Yeah.
And then what parts of those opinions can you give up on a little bit when it comes to the creative process?
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a difficult thing to do, like even as adults, to like come together and like agree on a thing, like a group project essentially that you're presenting at the end. We're like, hey, we're going to teach you how to do this when you're 8, and it's around like creative stuff
which
can be even more like difficult and kind of crunchy to work through, like, no, I want this idea. And to learn that skill at such a young age is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So we're adding these kind of components of curriculum, teaching them how to work together throughout the course of the week. Then when you've got these elements of learning about your history, that's often left out of what you're listening to on the radio or in music classes where you know, young people are just coming in thinking like there's just 5 or 6 maybe women who've done music, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Billie Eilish, Lizzo, you know, like there's just a couple and then the rest is just men.
It doesn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, hey, we're going to open up the curtain to like all of these possibilities.
Yeah.
Not just famous people.
Yeah.
But actually the people who are here who are your mentors.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones teaching you your instrument. We also have performers every day at the end of camp. And they are local musicians who are sometimes doing that as their profession or sometimes they have other jobs and then they're doing music on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, campers are getting to see examples of people doing this.
Yeah.
And we show lots of different genres, lots of different kinds of people,
mm-hmm.
ages, body sizes, skin color, like all the genres that you could think of, country, you know, singer-songwriters, metal, goth, like, and so to get exposed to that kind of variety as a young person, we see how it opens up their worldview.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end, the first day, you see the youth who are outgoing, they're already bouncing off the walls. That's already happening.
Yeah.
Maybe they're learning to channel that a little bit or how to be a leader. But you also see people come in and they're like off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really sharing their opinion yet, but you know they've got an opinion.
Yeah.
They're writing it in their journal.
Yeah.
But they're just not saying it out loud. And then by the end, they are all talking to one another, sharing their opinions, raising their hands, you know, contributing ideas to the song.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like this different energy in the room that you can feel on Friday compared to Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the really kind of obvious ways that we see that is mm-hmm. with the performance of the camp song.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, we have our teenagers who are called interns, and they are like junior counselors and coaches, kind of a thing.
Okay.
They perform our camp theme song.
Okay.
Which is really cool. You should check it out on YouTube, the Rain City Rock Camp camp song.
Okay.
You know, it's this triumphant moment at the end of the day. And if you've been to summer camp, you know that that can be kind of like this moment where you're all coming together, like the rituals that you mm-hmm. have at camp.
Yeah.
On the first day, there's a little bit like, okay, we don't really know the song, or maybe I do, but I don't want people to see that I'm singing it, you know. And
I have a terrible voice.
Right. I'm not. Well, that happens more with the adults, right? Of like, I don't have a musical bone in my body. And you're like, just give it a second.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We'll show you.
Yeah.
You do. So then by the end of the week, instead of this like, you know, scared, trepidatious, like,
mm-hmm.
You see just this unleashing of whatever showing your true self means. That doesn't look the same for every person, but sometimes it means like they're jumping up and down, singing it out loud, dancing with their new friend. It is just so cool to see that happen, like in this really overt way, where like we see these changes in the conversations and kind of what's happening behind the scenes, but then overt. Showing of that with the camp song is really cool.
So do you welcome campers if they've been before, like they can come over and over again?
Yeah. So about 50% of our campers are returning, 50% new.
Okay.
So you get a lot of like culture that's carried over year after year, but then it's also very welcoming for new participants. So it's not just like, oh, we know all everything and you know.
And you don't, newbie.
Right. Exactly. So it's
right on.
It's very welcoming, and one of our main values is that, you know, everyone belongs, and
mm-hmm.
that's something we work on a lot from the moment you walk in the door of, like, how you're greeted, and
mm-hmm.
We are really intentional with our very first workshops that you get when you walk in the door, where we learn what's your name and what's your pronoun, and what do mm-hmm. pronouns mean, and how do we respect other people's pronouns? So that there's just all these levels of respect, belonging, that are super important for creating that kind of space for young people and adults too.
And they get to define that right away, off the bat.
Right. And then midweek, if you want to change that, you've got you know what, I've decided I want to be called, you know, whatever.
This is my name.
This is
my pronoun.
My name now, and I've changed my pronoun. And we're like, okay, great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So being in this position, you obviously you're working with young girls, young kids, and seeing these opportunities for them. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are enough opportunities like this where kids get to have like girls get to have this like female experience looking at people who look like them mm-hmm. or sound like them or have the same kind of life as them? Do you think there's enough of that right now?
Well, that's part of why we exist, mm-hmm. is to give space where we don't think it exists otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah. And we will exist and create these experiences and opportunities until we see that this is happening just across the board.
Yeah,
everywhere,
yeah.
Right? And that will take a lot of work, mm-hmm. not just in a gendered sense, but also in the, you know, encouraging one another and, like, the really intensely positive experience that happens at camp where yeah. it's like, okay, we are creating norms and values in a space that we're not necessarily seeing it to be conducive to creativity and being your true self outside of this space.
Yeah.
Please bring it out there with you and take it out into the world and try to encourage that to happen. But in the meantime,
yes.
we'll make it happen at camp, and we will provide you with examples, role models who maybe you're not seeing in the mainstream.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you that we're all working together. Mm-hmm. We're sharing knowledge. We're not competing. We look so different from one another. Mm-hmm. There are different definitions of what cool is.
Yeah.
We're going to show you what that looks like and that we're all working together no matter what.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you had mentioned it a little bit earlier, but on your website, I read the phrase, "Campers have a sense of the history, community, and pride for women in rock." Hmm. What does history of women, like you had mentioned that, what do those lessons look like for the campers? Mm-hmm.
So we do have a workshop where they're learning a little bit about the history of music
okay.
and women in music.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have, within every single component of the camp day,
mm-hmm.
pictures on the wall, the playlists, everything that they experience is very carefully and intentionally done.
Okay.
So from the people they interact with to what images they're seeing, the sounds they're hearing,
mm-hmm.
those are all like eye-opening.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is the 100% this like immersive experience in history.
Okay.
And that can be so empowering because you are learning about what's already been done,
mm-hmm.
where you can go, and I think it's very important to know where you can go in the future to know whose shoulders you're standing on.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
Yeah.
What did people have to do in order to get here? Who's been silenced?
Mm.
You know, what are those, whose voices are we not hearing?
Yeah.
And still not hearing? Well, we are going to play those for you and amplify those for you. And we think that your voice might be one of those too. So we're going to crank that up pretty loud.
Nice.
Yeah.
So along with kind of a history element, do you guys focus on any kind of local musicians? Do you put more emphasis, like you're based out of Seattle, right?
Right.
So do you put emphasis on, say, Seattle musicians, Western Washington, or just Washington State musicians?
Yeah. There's a lot of Pacific Northwest mm-hmm. pride in our playlists and then the musicians who come and play at camp as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this like education
yeah.
component of teaching what you might not already know of music
yeah.
that's out there, we kind of pepper in, of course, the music that they're already listening to.
Okay.
Because we also don't want to come at it from this adultist perspective of like, oh, you haven't heard Slater Kinney, well, here you are listening to Ariana Grande. No,
yeah.
like, Ariana Grande, great, let's get her on the playlist.
Yeah.
They love her. Let's get that going.
Yeah.
Also, let's throw in some Slater Kinney and some Bikini Kill as
yeah.
long as we can find one that's age-appropriate. You know, and
yes.
like, let's get our music that uh-huh. we loved when we were their age and their music they love, because why would we judge it for being devoid of some sort of value,
yeah.
which is so common, right? Of like, oh, young girls like it, so it must be terrible. And it's like, no way.
Especially
like,
for like female pop musicians.
So
that happens a
yeah.
lot. Yeah.
So we just have to check ourselves and be like, why are we questioning ourselves on this pop artist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. We're going to include them too.
And nice.
Their picture is going to be on the wall as well, you know, along with Alice Bag, and, you know, try to expose them to artists they wouldn't already know, so
mm-hmm.
at the end they're like so excited about
yeah.
all all of this history that's so rich.
Yeah. So I imagine because, you know, these are kids, they're coming into the camp. They're bringing their music with them. Mm-hmm. How often do you guys, are you, like, as staff, exposed to new artists?
Well, all the time.
Yeah.
Especially because as we're creating, like, playlists or trying to think of songs they may want to learn, mm-hmm. often we're asking them in the class and kind of improvising based on what they come with. But at the same time, you want to be a little prepared. So I'm often, like, doing a whole bunch of research on, you know, what's popular and even, like, up and coming.
Yeah.
So that it's relevant and makes sense to be doing this, mm-hmm. and that it's not just serving some sort of, you know, personal politics mm-hmm. or need of, like, you know,
this is mine
healing the young me or something. It's like, no, okay, like, what what's actually important to them, and not just me doing it myself or other adults doing it, but, like, how can we co-lead with other young people so mm-hmm. that they're creating programming for themselves that they're interested in. So that's something we're really working on too, is, like, the youth leadership component of yeah. our organization too.
Nice. And then for the final product at camp, it is the song and the performance.
Right. Yep.
Is that something that you are able to share within the community? Do you put those songs out on your website, or do you release them to, like, YouTube or anything?
Yeah, they perform it mm-hmm. at a live local music venue. Okay. So we just pack the Crocodile in Seattle.
Seriously?
Yeah. So they get to play this, like, awesome. Really cool club. It's in the middle of the day on a Saturday.
Okay.
In July. So yeah. It's very hot.
Yes.
It's like a noon show, and it's packed, and they're playing their song, you know, on stage, big old stage yeah. at the Crocodile.
Yeah, so do family and friends get to go?
Family and friends. It's open to the public.
Okay.
So people who don't have, you know, kids in the camp, they come too, because it is very inspiring to yeah. just see that kind of creativity that's not being held back.
Yeah.
And we print up a program too with all their lyrics.
Oh, nice.
Which is just, I mean, it's hilarious and, you know, inspiring and sad, and the teenagers often have, like, dark mm-hmm. lyrics about, you know, losing their first love sure. or, you know, it's just
your standard teenage feelings.
Yeah, exactly. But it's very, very inspiring. So I encourage everyone, even if they're not, you know, participating mm-hmm. as a volunteer or have a young person in the camp, to come to the showcase.
Yeah.
And just get a little bit of light in the world of, like, this is the next generation, and I feel pretty good about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
And your showcases, do you have, like, the dates or times somewhere on your website, or is that something that...
Yes. Okay. The confirmation is pending, but okay. we will have
okay.
that very soon.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice.
On our website.
So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to Rain City Rock Camp for Girls. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Yeah. So our programs are all sliding scale for mm-hmm. the young people and adults who want to attend.
Okay.
So if you want to come to our program, you can come. It's not about whether or not you can pay.
Okay.
And then on the back end, okay, so we've got to make that work.
Yeah.
Who is going to pay?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get people who are interested in supporting this
yeah.
to support it. So you're paying for campers to come,
sure.
for the young people to come, or for the adults who want to come,
mm-hmm.
who end up becoming the mentors for our young people. So that's paying for the instruments, because we provide all of that.
Yeah.
Guitars, cables, strings, earplugs, guitar picks. We provide food and snacks, and all of our volunteers get fed breakfast and lunch every day. And at camp, that's 75 people.
Okay.
So we're providing all of that food. We're renting out the schools and the venues in order to do the programs and performances. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to pay staff to be there too and be the mentors and make sure that everything is safe uh-huh. and awesome for everybody.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes into it. And then to say, hey, you could come here and pay whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
we're not checking tax forms and, oh, explain to me why. No, you want to come and you can pay $50. Okay, great.
Yeah, it's not very rock and roll to check tax forms.
Yeah, right.
So in my head, too, because it's a camp, right? Mm-hmm. I'm definitely picturing, like, oh, we have little individual campsites, like houses, bunks, you know, there's a lake, that kind of thing. But, you know, you're in Seattle, so you don't exactly have that. Where are you going for camp? Where are the camps located?
So this year, our camp is at Whittier Middle School.
Okay.
We often are holding the camps in a school.
Okay.
Because we have 100 participants, if you break that up into bands of five, mm-hmm. okay, well, how are they going to do that? Well, you need individual rooms. Mm-hmm. So the footprint is pretty big with how many small groups and breakout rooms that we need.
Okay.
So that often means going into a school, which right now means that we are kind of confined to the summer. So that's when schools are usually available.
Makes sense.
Until we can get a huge school that's ours and just all yours. Our own, and mm-hmm. then we'll just run it year-round. So in the meantime, we go into a school, the Ladies Rock Camp is typically at the Vera Project, which is in Seattle Center.
Oh, right on. Nice. Yeah.
So it's not really your typical, tents and overnight kind of situation.
It's a day program.
It's a day camp, mm-hmm. yeah. It is a full day, okay. So it starts at 9, although campers can come as early as 8 with mm-hmm. morning care, and it goes till 5.
Okay.
So it's a great, daycare replacement.
Yes.
You know, some of the camps end a little bit early, and that can be difficult to figure out, the pickup and everything like that. So it's a full day, Monday through Friday, with a Saturday performance.
Okay, very nice. So before we go, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, well, our Ladies Rock Camp is coming up in May.
Okay.
It's Mother's Day weekend, so it's a great gift or experience that you could do with your mom or your kids.
Nice.
And so that's May 8th through 10th at the Vera Project, and our applications are online for mm-hmm. that. Again, sliding scale. And so that would be a really cool experience for you to sign up and mm-hmm. be a part of, or come to the showcase.
Okay.
And that showcase is on the Sunday. See what it's like for grown people doing this mm-hmm. and being vulnerable when they've just learned their instrument and written a song together with complete strangers. I just have to say, it is I've already said it's inspiring, but
it's
check
inspiring.
It out. Yeah.
It's absolutely
check it
inspiring.
Out. Yeah. And then our volunteer application goes up on April 1st.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, you know, it's 75 volunteers every single day, so it takes about 100 to 150 volunteers to run our summer camp. And that's everything from camp counselors and mm-hmm. band coaches and instrument instructors to our food crew, our support crew at the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is that you do and is your skill in life, we probably need your help.
Nice.
Yeah, if you can move some equipment, we could use that as well. Know how to set up a drum kit? Awesome. We need you. Don't know how? We still need you. Can you help us move the drum kit? Or donate one? Or, you know, there's so many points of entry. If you are excited about music, kids, empowerment, making the world better, I feel like it's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
right. Right on. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for coming down to Olympia and telling me all about Rain City Rock Camp.
Yes, it's great to be here. Thank you.
All right, so that was Natalie with Rain City Rock Camp for Girls. She's awesome, and I definitely want to go to the adult program and be the ladies'
Tell
rock
me
camp.
About this adult program.
So this is what happens, right? Ladies' Rock Camp, it's 3 days. They have longer camps for the girls because it's like they have a lot of summer availability.
Kids,
right? They got all the time in the world. Gross. Take more naps, children. You're gonna need to sleep. You're gonna miss the sleep when you get older. Just take more naps. Trust me. Okay, so Ladies Rock Camp, it's 3 days. So essentially it's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you get your weekend, right? You go, and just like the same setup for the kids, you can learn an instrument. Their classes, their things that they teach. But then also, in this 3 days, you will meet a group of people, form a band, write a song, and then perform the song.
What?
I know, right?
Why didn't you tell me about this?
Well, you know, we were busy.
Well, like, I want to join your band.
Yeah. Do you want to be in a band? Let's be in a band. We'll go and we'll, like, write a song together.
I want to go do this.
We'll meet some sweet, sweet ladies and write a song and perform on a stage.
I would feel good about it.
And they perform at the Crocodile.
No way.
Yes way. So there are shows that Natalie talked about for the youth groups that perform. They perform on Saturdays in July. So they get that whole week to prepare, to make music, to learn instruments or be exposed to instruments that they wouldn't. Like, hey, I don't know anything about keyboards. Let me learn how. Like, you can learn that.
That's really, really cool.
And they have music instructors who will teach. Like, this is how you play a guitar. This is how you hold a guitar. These are important notes. Give it a try. See what you come up with.
I want in.
Right? And, of course, like, because it is a music camp, really. Like, it's music-focused. They'll have all these musicians and all this music and all this availability. They teach history as well. So the girls and the kids who come in, they might be like, yeah, I'm going to play a song that's a rock and roll song. But as they work it out with their band and these new people they've met, it might not be a rock and roll song at the end of the day.
What a great, like, collaboration of being able to utilize multiple different people's voices and literal vocals to be able to create something that all of you had a part in.
Exactly, yeah.
What a good thing that they teach the youth, too.
Yeah, because you have to learn how to have this finished product at the end. This is going to be the result. How do you get there?
That's cool.
So they get to collaborate together to figure out exactly what to do. Guitar, bass, keyboards, percussion, vocals.
Which one would you do?
I guess it would depend on the group, right?
No, like, if you want, like, what's your instrument of choice?
Well, I have no problem being, like, I've definitely been in a band for one show where I was the drummer. So I'm comfortable there. I have a guitar at home that I don't practice on or use at all. And then I would love to learn how to play piano and keyboards, but I also, as you're familiar, and maybe some people from the podcast, I've been known to sing a little.
Yeah,
you're very familiar with that.
I like it.
So I'm like, yeah.
You're just game for any and all.
I'm game for any and all. I like it. So I was really just like, oh, this is a crazy opportunity. I should go be a rock star now. So
I love it.
All the podcasts, all the charities on the podcast this year, just
they're really getting at you.
They're really getting at me.
I love it.
Ugh, I'm going to end up giving away my entire paycheck.
You already are.
Yeah, thank you. To all the charities that come on the podcast. So if you're a charity who comes on the podcast, guess what? Heather Lucas is giving you some money.
That's a big say.
It's true. Yeah. Sweet Jeebies. So, yes, that was an awesome interview, and I am really excited to maybe be a rock star on a stage with you in the future.
I would love that, too.
All right.
Tell me about some events we have.
Yeah, so we have some upcoming recognition events. Spokane Wacom, we've got some dates upcoming, March and April. We'll get that out to you guys. It'll be on our website. We'll also talk about it when we've got that solidified. But we've got the Snow King event, March 3rd, at the Center for Urban Horticulture. That is kind of a tongue twister.
It is a hard thing to say.
And then the Thurston / statewide event is March 13th at the SPSCC Lacey campus. So if you're in either of those regions, you can come to those events. But we'll definitely have some more information about Spokane and Whatcom coming up in the future. Beyond that, we're kind of just wrapping up this little bit of the end of the campaign. These recognition events are the biggest part of the end. So no matter who you are, what you've done for us, volunteering at just a one-off fundraiser, or if you've been a volunteer for the entire campaign, we thank you. We could not do this work without you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and we will chat with you soon.
Thank you.